So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from ThinkerToys is a
07. Authorized.
Have you with us.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications. Deadlines are overlooked. And ultimately, it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching.
The funeral for Coretta Scott King has been an afternoon-long affair in suburban Atlanta, 6 hours now. President Bush.
She trusted in the name above every name. And today we trust that our sister Coretta is on the other shore, at peace, at rest, at home.
Joining Mr. Bush, three former presidents, his father, Bill Clinton, and Jimmy Carter, eulogizing her mother, Bernice King.
Praise ye the Lord for the life of Coretta Scott King.
Coretta Scott King was 78. You may not hear all of those lawyer commercials to add plaintiffs to the latest asbestos lawsuits much longer.
This is a complex and ambitious bill designed to settle in one fell swoop all the lawsuits around the country filed by hundreds of thousands of people harmed by exposure to asbestos in the workplace. Companies and insurers would pay for a $140 billion fund, and Ohio Republican Senator Mike DeWine says workers would get between $25,000 and $1.1 million depending on how sick they are.
This bill is simply about helping victims. It's about doing the right thing.
But victims, lawyers, and unions complain it's more about helping companies who want to get out from under these lawsuits.
Bob. Plaintiffs to the latest asbestos lawsuits much longer.
This is a complex and ambitious bill designed to settle in one fell swoop all the lawsuits around the country filed by hundreds of thousands of people harmed by exposure to asbestos in the workplace. Companies and insurers would pay for a $140 billion fund, and Ohio Republican Senator Mike DeWine says workers would get between $25,000 and $1.1 million depending on how sick they are.
This bill is simply about helping victims. It's about doing the right thing.
But victims, lawyers, and unions complain it's more about helping companies who want to get out from under these lawsuits. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol.
Plaintiffs to the latest asbestos lawsuits much longer.
This is a complex and ambitious bill designed to settle in one fell swoop all the lawsuits around the country filed by hundreds of thousands of people harmed by exposure to asbestos in the workplace. Companies and insurers would pay for a $140 billion fund, and Ohio Republican Senator Mike DeWine says workers would get between $25,000 and $1.1 million depending on how sick they are.
This bill is simply about helping victims. It's about doing the right thing.
But victims, lawyers, and unions complain it's more about helping companies who want to get out from under these lawsuits. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol.
Plaintiffs to the latest asbestos lawsuits much longer.
This is a complex and ambitious bill designed to settle in one fell swoop all the lawsuits around the country filed by hundreds of thousands of people harmed by exposure to asbestos in the workplace. Companies and insurers would pay for a $140 billion fund, and Ohio Republican Senator Mike DeWine says workers would get between $25,000 and $1.1 million depending on how sick they are.
This bill is simply about helping victims. It's about doing the right thing.
But victims, lawyers, and unions complain it's more about helping companies who want to get out from under these lawsuits. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol.
Helping victims. It's about doing the right thing.
But victims, lawyers, and unions complain it's more about helping companies who want to get out from under these lawsuits. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Someone is going after Baptist churches in Alabama. Three counties now. Four more churches burned overnight. That makes 9 black churches, white churches.
They're in the region, the rural churches, they're multiple sets, forced entry. Those are some of the similarities right there.
Federal agent Jim Cavanaugh at ATF is asking the public's help to catch these arsonists. The former tour manager for the group Great White has pleaded guilty to 100 deaths of people at a Rhode Island nightclub known as The Station.
This is not about punishment. The only thing that we can get out of this now is making sure that this doesn't happen again for somebody else.
David Kane lost his son in that fire. As Private End is
for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2-1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every
sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the left coast. 321 as we continue with blogger and new author Colby Buzzell. His new book is called My War, Killing Time in Iraq. As we mentioned, he served about a year on duty in Iraq as an Army machine gunner in the infantry and spent a lot of time near the city of Mosul, which is north of Baghdad. And Colby Buzzell, one of the reasons we invited you on the program today is that we've heard these reports that American servicewomen have been targeted, unfortunately, by male American service members, or I suppose some of them are coalition members, for sexual assault, including rape. And recently, Marjorie Cohn, who is a frequent contributor to our program, she's a constitutional law professor in San Diego, she interviewed Janice Karpinski, the reserve general who was in charge of many of the prisons in Iraq, including Abu Ghraib, and GM, so that they won't have to rise to use the facilities during the night. And the reason is that many of them have been harassed and some reported rapes as they went to the latrines late at night. Tell us what you know about the safety of women serving in the war zone, and if you know of any instances where rapes have been reported that you believe.
Well, I was in the infantry, and the infantry is an all-male profession, so our interaction with women was very rotate every hour to make sure, you know, nothing happens, nothing gets stolen, et cetera, et cetera. And about 06 a.m., you know, these sergeants came in, woke us all up, and they didn't tell us anything other than to form in a line and for all of us to take our shirts off. And once we got in front of the line, you know, these two sergeants would look at our knuckles, look at our nails, check our body for scratches, see anything was going on. And then once they searched all of us and none of us had any scratches or dings on us. They said that there was a female a couple hours before that that got raped in the latrine right outside where our tent was. And this is like in the desert. And next to the latrines are these huge gas-powered like generators that are extremely loud at night. Like you could stand right next to it and scream, and people in the tents wouldn't hear you because they're that loud. And what happened was is a female soldier went to the latrine by herself, and somebody went in there. And the story that we were told by the, our CO was they tied her up with some 550 survival cord and gagged her with her underwear and raped her. And, you know, what was weird was like a sergeant came in, and instead of asking us if we knew anything about what happened, he, you know, he didn't even ask us that. All he said was, in case any media comes over here and asks you anything about a rape, you were to tell them that you knew nothing about it. You know, and I thought that was kind of odd that they didn't ask, hey, did anybody see anything? Did anybody hear anything? All they said was that. And then...
So they essentially wanted to clear your group and then try to bury the whole episode?
That was my impression, because they said they had forensic evidence and they'd make arrests in the next couple days. But I think they said that just to maybe scare the person that did it, so he would turn himself in or do something drastic, like try to run away or something. But instead, nothing happened. No arrests were made. The only thing that ever came from that was, like, I think a month later or a couple weeks later, I was reading Stars and Stripes, and there was a small little article about, you know, a female soldier getting raped in Kuwait, and then she flew to Germany, and then from there gonna fly back home. That was all I ever heard of it, and they never made an arrest or nothing.
And when you went to Iraq, were there any similar incidents of either sexual harassment of women or an actual rape? Sexual activity? I mean, it's kind of a sex-free zone there, which makes it very hard on men and women. I mean, I have a libido, I understand.
Yeah, well, in the infantry, it's like a, you know, it's, I'm always surrounded by guys, but, like, you know, this one time I went to the internet cafe, and, you know, the internet was taking a while to come up, and I was bored, so I looked at the pictures saved on the hard drive, and, you know, I saw, you know, pictures of two soldiers from a different unit, you know. I don't know who took the photos, but they were both in military uniform having sex, and... Well, I mean, I don't know how many times over there, you know, I have an Iraqi citizen come up to me and tell me the, you know, all these horror stories about what it was like when Saddam was there, and people telling you about, you know, how bad conditions were. And you do see improvements over there. I mean, we are doing a lot of good, but, you know, there are, you know, a lot of government contracts being handed out, and that kind of makes you scratch your head and go, you know, what's going on here, you know, and, you know, no talk, real talk of us getting out of there, or any real talk of a timeline about getting back home. And
Colby, I'm sorry, our time for today is up.
Okay. But
I would like to invite you back after I've had a chance to read your book, and we'll talk at length and get more of your observations on the war in Iraq. Thanks for joining us. The book is My War, Killing Time in Iraq.
Or any real talk of a timeline about getting back home. And
Colby, I'm sorry, our time for today is up,
okay,
but I would like to invite you back after I've had a chance to read your book, and we'll talk at length and get more of your observations on the war in Iraq. Thanks for joining us. The book is My War, Killing Time in Iraq, Colby Bazell, our guest. I'm Peter B. Collins. Stay tuned for more.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Please join House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi and former White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta as they celebrate Congressman Sam Farr's 30 years of public service. Sunday, February 12th at the Hyatt Regency Monterey, local and national leaders will pay tribute to Sam's work on behalf of the Central Coast and the nation. That's Sunday, February 12th at the Hyatt Regency Monterey, starting at 6 p.m. For tickets or information, call 373-4607. That's 373-4607.
Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender, and believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. If you need us, you can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We personally answer the phone and don't pre-screen our calls. We're here to give you advice. We can give you your options 5 minutes after reviewing your credit report. We might be able to help you. We might not be able to help you. But if you never call us, you'll never know. That's 443-7277 for a five-minute solution. Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
You'll turn to that station.
Yeah, let's tune to War News Radio from Swarthmore College in Pennsylvania. Yes, this is a radio program about a radio program. I hope you can handle that. The one you're listening to is called the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're going to discuss this half hour a very interesting project spearheaded by students at Swarthmore in Pennsylvania, and it's called War News Radio. You may have read some accounts about it. It's gotten some interesting publicity over the last few months. And joining us to talk about it are two individuals, Marty Goldenson, who is the journalist advisor and executive producer of War News Radio. He's got some real radio experience. He was the New York bureau chief for the Marketplace radio show produced by PRI and featured on many public radio stations around the country. And he also was the host of a program at WHYY in Philly, which most people know as the flagship station for the Terry Gross Fresh Air program. Marty Goldenson, welcome to our program today.
Hi, thanks for having us on.
Nice to talk with you. And is Eva with us too?
Yes, thanks for having us.
My pleasure. Eva Barboni is a junior and a poli sci major at Swarthmore, an assistant producer and co-host for War News Radio, and she's been involved since it got started just about a year ago, January of 2005. And Eva, it always helps people to understand what we're talking about just to give them a sample, and we have a clip which is identified as WNR3 that I'd like to play here next. Can you set that up for us, please?
I don't have the actual number.
Okay, I have a description here. It's an Army platoon leader, and he talks about the difficulties of balancing war and reconstruction.
Yes, and that was a soldier that we spoke with earlier last year who was telling us about a project that he set up to bring school supplies to Iraqi children. He had some of his friends and family at home here in the States donate the supplies, and then he and his platoon would then bring them to schools. And he was talking about kind of the internal conflict of dealing with doing humanitarian work while at the same time being in a very dangerous conflict situation.
All right, let's listen to that clip, and then we can talk more about the overall picture at War News Radio. Go ahead, Matt.
My guys wanted some payback for their buddies being hurt. But the point of the matter was we really, in that particular instance, we didn't have anyone to take any type of retribution out on or defend ourselves, so to speak. And we ended up at that school within 2 hours helping these kids out and these teachers. And as a platoon leader, it's pretty tough because you've got to manage your guys and let them understand that, hey, these kids aren't the guys that are attacking you. You know, these kids are the future of Iraq. It's really hard because you almost have to have multiple personality disorder.
Most of the response Jimmy Ryan would get when he drove up to Adeluia schools with much-needed supplies was positive. But some people questioned his motives.
I went into an all-girls school, and this was a very hardcore Islamic school. They pretty much couldn't believe we were doing that just to do it out of the goodness of our heart. As one teacher was telling me, the only reason why we are giving her these school supplies is because of the oil we stole from them. We use that money to buy the school supplies to give to them. So I was explaining to him, I was like, look, these items came from my family. And my family, and friends have worked very hard, you know, for the money they've earned. And they spent their own money to provide you with these things. And you just have to believe what I'm telling you. Over there, when one is wearing all that gear and you're wearing sunglasses and you got a 4-point helmet on and body armor and knee pads and elbow pads and you're carrying a machine gun, everyone just tends to look like a bunch of robots. So you have to kind of take a risk sometimes and sit down and take your helmet off and take your glasses off and look into their eyes and talk to them and just let them know that, you know, a lot of the things that they believe in and a lot of the things that they aspire to do, we all have the same kind of general attitudes about.
That's a clip from War News Radio at Swarthmore College. And Eva Barboni, give us a sense. What I understand is that you're trying to give Americans a sense of what life is really like in Iraq, both from the point of view of troops on the ground and also average Iraqi citizens. Is that a fair description?
That is a fair description. And that that clip that you just played kind of shows one of our goals, which is to get more perspectives from American soldiers who've been on the ground, on the air, because we feel that that perspective has been kind of underrepresented in the media as a whole. And so that's one of our major goals here at War News Radio. We're also really trying to get the Iraqi perspective on what's going on. Another thing that we feel about a lot of the coverage is that it is kind of one-sided, and we're hoping to get a more diverse range of opinions out there and kind of explain that, you know, there really is no, you know, typical Iraqi opinion, and to try to really kind of flesh out the diverse opinions that are out there on the ground in Iraq.
And Marty Goldenson, is the project politically neutral? Do you try very hard to avoid being pro-war or anti-war, simply covering the war and its impact?
It's interesting. I mean, I thought that would take some effort to, you know, sort of be journalistic and neutral, but it, you know, it's such a complicated war. And these students are so sort of innately fair and intelligent that whatever biases or whatever opinions they came in with, they're informed opinions, and other times they're biases, I guess, but whatever it is, as soon as you delve into this below the surface, everybody seems to be fair because they realize how many years of Iraqi history they don't know or are about to learn, how complex and diverse people are. You know, Eva was just saying how you can't generalize about Iraqis, you can't generalize about the troops. And I think everybody's sort of humbled by the information, and everybody's fundamentally honest. So it hasn't been any effort. Mm-hmm. But if you look around the room, there are people who, you know, started out thinking this was a good idea. There are people who started out thinking this was another example of hideous imperialism. And it doesn't seem to matter much. There's some people who want to show some of the positive news that has happened there. Others who, you know, come at the story and say, you know, with a different motive, which is let's try to unearth another lie, like the weapons of mass destruction lie, you know, and some other lies. It doesn't really seem to matter where people are coming from because they are stuck with the facts, and everybody's honest and tries to get down to the facts, not comparing two opposing opinions where neither person is informed. But we really try to get a level deeper, which is what exactly is happening.
Mm-hmm. And so Marty, just a quick bit about process, please. I heard some really high-quality audio there, and I understood that you were primarily using satellite phones to conduct the interviews.
Oh,
you had
people
on the ground?
You were badly misinformed. No, we could never afford a satellite phone. In fact, we're sitting here with one space heater, all with our jackets on. and, you know, we're trying to convince the university to give us heat. You know? No, satellite phone, if you have one, you know, send it.
No, I don't.
What we're doing? Oh, right. Well, that's because you have the same fabulous budget we do, probably.
Yeah,
there.
Probably.
no, what makes it work to some extent is two things actually. Skype, which is a form of talking, you know, internet. I guess what they call phone over IP or voice over IP.
Uh-huh.
Which is internet. Using your internet provider. Skype is this wonderful thing that anybody in your audience can use. You buy a pair of headphones for your computer, and you can talk to almost anybody in the world who downloads their free Skype software.
Right.
And talk to anybody in the world for no money. And what's interesting is a lot of people in Iraq have Skype. And if you go on the directory at Skype, you can find English speakers. And it was always our dream to interview when we thought up this program. I came in a little bit later, but I was told that the dream was to interview a pharmacist in Fallujah, which is to say an ordinary person where there was trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we actually caught on Skype some months ago a pharmacist, but it was in Baghdad, so it didn't have the alliteration, but it served the same purpose.
Now,
and
Eva,
sometimes
you just use
cheap phone lines.
Pardon me, Eva, are you just kind of dialing at random, hoping to find an Iraqi who, A, speaks English, and, B, is willing to be interviewed? Or do you have people who kind of refer you or set up? What's the process there?
It's a little more methodical than just kind of dialing at random. We have gotten in touch with some organizations here in the state, some, you know, Muslim organizations to try to get in touch with people both here in the U.S. who are, you know, Iraqi exiles, as well as getting in touch with some of their contacts in Iraq. Also, I mean, you know, the Internet has just been a huge resource for us. You know, any story that we're interested in doing, we can kind of look online and find, you know, for instance, we ran a piece about the Iraqi university system, and we, you know, were able to call up some professors there in Iraq. So we definitely use the Internet to the best of our abilities, but there really is no kind of Iraqi white pages where you can just, you know, run your finger down the list of names and pick somebody out at random. But,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what is your vetting or editing process? Do you, for example, eliminate people who you believe have an agenda or are promoting Muqtada al-Sadr or a particular political candidate or Sunnis over Shiites? How do you navigate the cultural differences that, you know, it appears even the Americans on the ground have difficulty with?
Well, we don't necessarily eliminate anyone out of hand to be on the program. We just try to make everyone's perspective as clear as possible. You know, we try to say where this person is coming from, what type of background they have, what, you know, political affiliation they have, if any. And then, you know, just make that clear and air it as another voice and another perspective from Iraq. What we do try to do is gauge, you know, whether somebody is misrepresenting themselves and if they aren't telling us the truth about, you know, where they work or what they do. And we do our best to really vet and find out, you know, as much information that is verifiable. For instance, you know, this person works for such and such a contractor. We'll look that up and we'll call the contractor and make sure that that's the case. But, you know, we do think there's a lot of value in airing someone's perspective, even if they do have a bias, because, you know, that's the reality. People do, you know, have preferences, and we're hoping to just shed light on some of those.
Marty, tell us a little more from your perspective about the editing process.
Yeah, well, it works this way. On Monday night, we all have dinner together, and we bat around story ideas and what's happened during the week, and somehow or another, we try to get a sense in the room of who has a major paper due in history, math, physics, or political science on Thursday or Friday. And that person gets, we try to sign them a story that will get done by Wednesday. And then sometimes you have to get off the hook because we're trying to wedge, you know, these are full-time students
yeah.
who are also trying to be full-time reporters. One of them said to me, I said, how do you do it? And they said, we just don't sleep, is the answer. But so that meeting figures out what's happening during the week, what the show might need, and people dream up ideas. I don't assign stories, and even the senior editors, you know, like Eva, who you're talking to, and mm-hmm. and Ren and Amelia are very experienced now, but there's no need to assign stories. People dream up stories themselves, imagine stories, and then surprisingly, they're great. This week, one of the freshmen, 2 weeks ago, dreamed up this idea, what's funny in Iraq? What is the Iraq sense of humor?
Sorry, Albert Brooks already covered that.
Right, exactly. And but for the Mideast in general, and so we thought we'd let him try, and we were skeptical. But it turned out to be a wonderful, funny, smart story that give you a real sense of how the humor remains but turned darker. And if you go to warnewsradio.org, which is where you can listen to us, our podcast, or just stream it, you know, just click on it with your computer or download it. If you go to warnewsradio.org, you can hear this piece about Iraqi humor. And, I mean, do you remember any of the jokes? What's that joke about the soldier? A woman soldier comes back from Iraq, that one? We shouldn't tell that story.
I can't remember
that. I will let them download that one, yeah.
But, yes. Yeah, and another story that we're running next week is about an Iraqi who is hoping to go to the Olympics and compete in the luge competition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, randomly, another reporter who is also a freshman kind of found and just was wondering, you know, hey, I wonder if there are any Iraqis in the Olympics, and tracked down this story, which should be really interesting, and we'll run on this week's show.
We have to do something that you never do at War News Radio. We have to pause for a commercial break. We're talking with Marty Goldenson, the journalist advisor, and Eva Barboni, a junior poli-sci major at Swarthmore College in Pennsylvania. Visit the website warnewsradio.org, and you can hear this work for yourself. We'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, get on the line now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Anywhere else, it's toll-free at 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
KRXA has a Valentine for you. Joan Kenley is bringing you her new Saturday show on KRXA 540. It's called Talking Matters, and you don't want to miss it. You may already know Joan as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or you've seen her on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, Good Morning America, or heard her on The Simpsons. Now Joan's brought her program to KRXA 540. Talking Matters starts Saturday, February 11th, 3 to 5 p.m. Her show will touch your mind, heart, body, and soul. Tune in to her Valentine's special February 11th at 3, full of laughter, tears, and great ideas. You'll hear couples with heart-pounding stories. Joan will talk about the biochemistry of love hormones and the hot topic of emotional infidelity. Learn more at TalkingMattersRadio.org. And keep talking with Joan, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is KRXA 540 News anchor Casey Lynch, inviting you to join us for a new program, Coach Casey's Call, Saturday mornings from 11 to noon. The show is dedicated to promoting local athletes and the teams they compete for. Coach Casey's Call features in-studio guests as well as listener phone calls, giving you an opportunity to join in the discussion and support the local sport. Casey's Call, Saturday mornings from 11 to noon. The show is dedicated to promoting local athletes and the teams they compete for. Coach Casey's Call features in-studio guests as well as listener phone calls, giving you an opportunity to join in the discussion and support the local sports scene. Join us Saturday mornings, 11 to noon, here on KRXA 540 AM for Coach Casey's Call.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Over a year ago, students at Swarthmore College in Pennsylvania raised the question, what is life like in occupied Iraq? You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Over a year ago, students at Swarthmore College in Pennsylvania raised the question, what is life like in occupied Iraq? And they proceed to answer it on a weekly basis with a broadcast called War News Radio. We're talking right now with Eva Barboni. She's a junior political science major at Swarthmore and an associate producer and co-host of the program, along with the faculty advisor.
Dad have fallen on hard times.
Now, no one go to the theater movies because
Number one, the security reason is very important. You don't know when the terrorist attack, you don't know what will happen in the theater movies.
Khalid Qasem Ali is an Iraqi journalist and film student in Baghdad. He remembers a time when movie theaters were alive and thriving before the UN
impact very much.
Yeah, you
at least
get a little
not to
bit.
This short.
I mean, you get a little bit. So the BBC does a little bit, and all the networks do a little bit. I mean, I think one of the tough things for reporters there is they're really only safe in the green zone, and if they're going to risk their lives, you know, they want to risk their lives for an important story. Maybe they can get a unique, you know, interview with someone in the insurgency, which hasn't quite happened yet, but that's an attempt. So, you know, I understand why the features don't happen. And one of the ironies is, you know, here we are in the corner of Pennsylvania near Philadelphia, and we can call anywhere in Iraq safely and find people and do feature stories safely, which is just, you know, that's sort of the kernel of the idea of War News Radio, that there's we've figured out a way to get closer to the street in Iraq than the reporters who were there much of the time.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
So it's pretty amazing. I should add here, it's not all feature stories. The program's 29 minutes, and many stations now carry it across the country. Originally, we were just sort of a podcast on the Internet, but now more and more community and college stations are picking us up.
Mm-hmm.
And at 29 minutes, we begin with a five-minute newscast, just all the latest developments, both military and what's happened in Washington, you know, political developments on the war and other related developments. And then a hard story, and a more hard news story about what's happening. And that could be about, you know, something, development in Washington, or it could be about a development on the field in Iraq. And then the feature pieces tend to follow. So one shouldn't get the impression that it's all features. You listen to this program, you get the full week of, you know, where is the democracy at? Who voted for whom? How, you know, who's the oil minister now? All the news you might have missed or couldn't put together, plus that intimacy.
Eva, tell me what your proudest contribution is to War News Radio, and if it happened, what was your biggest learning experience, an aha moment or something that, you know, you were surprised to know about?
Well, I mean, the whole experience has really been just incredibly eye-opening, and, you know, while we are definitely trying to also, you know, educate the public, we're also really educating ourselves at the same time. I mean, we are in school now. Some of us have had classes in Middle Eastern history, et cetera. But, you know, we've really just learned a huge amount about history and Iraqi culture and, you know, military kind of military strategy, et cetera, during this experience. So that, you know, and along with that, kind of the technical side of just learning how to produce radio, which has, you know, been really fascinating, is an incredibly interesting medium, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in terms of my biggest contribution, I guess, I mean, getting it off the ground in the beginning, it was incredibly difficult to kind of, you know, figure out what we were doing in the early stages. I was listening back to some of our earlier programs, and it's just amazing how far we've come since then, and you know, really helping kind of get things together and have students get training and, you know, really kind of get it off the ground.
My favorite contribution, by the way, if I can jump in for a second. Is
20 seconds,
right?
Marty, go ahead.
It's just to say that Eva did an amazing story about a congressman who originally was, you know, for wanted to change the name of French fries to Freedom Fries. He was
Walter B. Jones.
Pro-war in a pro-war district.
Mm-hmm.
And who switched sides and said this war is a mistake. And
yeah.
She did a portrait of him and really, as we say, drilled down into the story.
I want to thank you both for joining us. We're out of time. Marty Goldenson and Eva Barboni. Visit the website warnewsradio.org and hear it for yourself. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
This is it. This is the world we live in. What are we going to do about it? It's time to stop picking parasites off your friend's hairy back
and become an engaged cerebral citizen. Yes, there is more to American youth culture than McDonald's, malls, MySpace, and corporate monopolies. We have got to do better than the current apes that are in the process of turning this country into a banana republic. But we need your help. Call in, tell your friends, and listen to The Naked Ape, Sundays on KRXA.
Listen live Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A final tribute to Coretta Scott King.
Rarely has so much been asked of a pastor's wife, and rarely has so much been taken away.
More arson in Alabama.
The rural churches, forced entry, those are some of the similarities right there.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. They pulled out all the stops for the First Lady of the Civil Rights Movement.
I'm Peter King in Lithonia, Georgia. Some 50 performers, poets, preachers, friends and family members paid tribute to Coretta Scott King. So did four presidents, past and present.
By going forward with a strong and forgiving heart, Coretta Scott King not only secured her husband's legacy, she built her own.
Bernice King, an elder at this church, remembered her mother as...
stalwart, a beacon of hope, a king in her own right. A woman of authority, a woman of power, a woman of grace, a woman of essence, a woman of strength, a woman of dignity.
Some 10,000 people attended what was called a homegoing celebration, not a funeral. Peter King, CBS News, Lithonia, Georgia.
The service lasted 6 hours. Now this.
Dave, you can't sit outside on the window ledge with your laptop. We're on the 19th floor.
I can't sit next to Bob. He looks terrible.
Dave, try my Emergen-C. The powder in the little packets loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
Ooh, it's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost. Now, Dave, please come back inside.
I will, for a few packets of your Emergen-C. Besides, I think that pigeon just sneezed.
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy, taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
More crime scenes in Alabama. CBS News reporter Donna Francavilla tells us four Baptist churches were torched last night.
Like the fires that broke out in Bibb County last week, these churches were located in rural Baptist. At least two churches were either extensively damaged or destroyed. The number of church fires in central Alabama in the past week now stands at 9.
Apparently, the arson is not racially motivated. Some of the churches are predominantly black, but others are predominantly white. 3 years ago this month, 100 people died in a Rhode Island nightclub when pyrotechnics used by the band Great White started a fire. Today, in a plea deal, former tour manager Daniel Beakley, who set off the display, went before a judge and pleaded guilty to 100 counts of involuntary manslaughter.
Along with reducing fat, women were encouraged to increase their fruits and vegetables and increase their grains.
In the Journal of the American Medical Association, University of Washington researcher Shirley Beresford and colleagues report no significant risk reduction in nearly 50,000 postmenopausal women. This doesn't mean you should go bulk up with fats. An editorial with these studies says diet changes can still have a powerful effect on heart health, along with keeping your weight down and exercising. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Angry Muslims took to the streets again today, protesting European cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. Thousands demonstrated in Kabul, Afghanistan. In Pakistan, they burned effigies of Danish Prime Minister Anders Fogh Rasmussen, who calls the demonstrations a growing global crisis.
Extremists and radicals who seek a clash of cultures and religions are spreading it.
President Bush called Rasmussen today to express support and solidarity. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Ever wish upon a star?
Not lately.
Open your Valentine's present.
Wow, you named a star after me?
Let's let's wish on it. Wish for us.
It's the best Valentine's gift ever. For $54, International Star Registry will record your star name in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office and send you a beautiful gift package. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. That's 800-282-3333 or starregistry.com.
Let's wish for forever.
I love you.
Do you hear that? Sounds like she's having fun. It's all because of a two-hour comedy event, and it's tonight, only on ABC. All new episodes of According to Jim, Rodney, and Another Jim. Then, a special Tuesday episode of the new hit comedy Crumbs, starring Jane Curtin, Fred Savage, and William Devane. 2 hours of fun and, well, laughter. It all starts tonight at 8, 7 Central, only on ABC.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show in vivo, live up and down the left coast. We are live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz. We're live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And we're live on that World Wide Web thing. You can pick up the stream every weekday. KRXA540.com is the web address. This is Live Talk Radio, and you're invited to participate. Lines available for you at 831-899-5792. That's a local call on the Central Coast. Anywhere else, you can call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. We'll go into the free speech zone next hour to talk about the NSA spying hearings before the Judiciary Committee yesterday and the Islamic cartoon riots. That seems like a strange way to describe it, but the activities in response to the cartoons published in Denmark have really spun out of control, and we'll talk about that coming up next hour. At 4:30, we're expecting to check in with State Senator Deborah Bowen. More hearings in Sacramento, this time again on electronic voting, but specifically about the source code. And in plain language, Deborah Bowen thinks it should be open source, not the closed proprietary codes held by corporations like Diebold, Sequoia, and ESNS. David Bacon joins us this half hour. He is associate editor at Pacific News Service in San Francisco. He's the author of Unions and the Fight for Multiracial Democracy. Are undocumented workers being thrown to the wolves? And we want to talk about labor and about immigration during this half hour. David Bacon, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
And first of all, just kudos to Pacific News Service, Sandy Close, and your colleagues. You do a lot of great work there, particularly bringing many new and different voices to the forefront, particularly those who are not part of the white mainstream in the United States. And I commend you for the work you're doing there.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your views about the state of immigration, the need for reform of our immigration processes and regulations, and the political firestorm, really, that is brewing coming out of the far right wing of the Republican Party. Tom Tancredo of Colorado is kind of the leader of the charge, and in my view, he is a man who, if not filled with hate and loathing for those other than himself, seems to earn the support of people who would fit that label. And, of course, there is a struggle within the Republican Party over these issues. The president has backpedaled on his proposal for what amounted to amnesty that he offered just about a year ago. And in the State of the Union message this year, he clearly has backpedaled from that. He specifically and explicitly stated that he doesn't support amnesty. And he has a proposal for a bizarre guest worker program that would require every undocumented individual in the United States to go home and, I guess, wait for an email. And then if the email comes, they could come back. Is that an unfair summary of the president's plan?
Well, I think it sort of captures the unreality of it, for sure. And I think that that's what's sort of lacking in this sort of national hysteria that's especially emanating out of Washington is a sense of reality. So we might start by just a couple of reality checks here. One is that there are 12 million people living in the United States who don't have any papers. That's really an awful lot of folks here. It means that they're the neighbors of every one of your listeners here,
mm-hmm.
people that we work with, people who are part of our communities. Their kids go to our schools. You know, they are part of our society, really, and we are economically dependent on their labor, just as we are dependent on the labor of workers who are not immigrants. You know, basically, if you go into a factory or a hospital or a restaurant or a hotel, you'll find people all working together. Some of them have papers and some of them don't. Some of them are immigrants and some of them aren't. So we really need the labor of everybody in order to make our world work here. And so that's the first reality check, is that, this is a big part of our society here now, and we ought to simply face it and talk about what kind of a world we want to live in. Do we want to have a world that's sort of divided into sort of first and second class people here, or do we want a world in which we're all pretty much equal on the same kind of playing field? And, of course, we had a civil rights movement in this country for many, many years, the purpose of which was to sort of make it a level playing field for people. So, you know, that's part of our, you know, problem as a country right now, is that we have a kind of a very unequal playing field. We have some folks here who have rights and other folks here who don't. And there are an awful lot of people. And then another reality check might be to take a look at the border itself. And, you know, we have spent now 10 years of increasingly kind of, I would call them repressive immigration laws, which have really beefed up the border and turned it into kind of a military zone. If you go to Tijuana and you take a look at what the border looks like these days, it reminds you of the Berlin Wall.
Mm-hmm.
So yet despite all of that, despite all the money that's been spent on doing this, people cross. Thousands and thousands of people cross. And the reason for that is that the economic situation that people are coming from has gotten so desperate that it really leaves people very often with no alternative, and the border does not deter people from coming, no matter how much money we spend there. So maybe we need to think about a much more realistic way of dealing with this flow of people. First of all, looking at what's causing it, and there are some things that are some of the economic policies that our country pursues in the rest of the world from coming, no matter how much money we spend there. So maybe we need to think about a much more realistic way of dealing with this flow of people. First of all, looking at what's causing it, and there are some things that are some of the economic policies that our country pursues in the rest of the world that influence or that sort of push people towards our border. And if we stop doing that, fewer people would come. But also, I think that we ought to really ask ourselves, is this the kind of relationship that we want to have with Mexico?
Attitudes that really don't recognize the rational points that you made, that our economy is built on the low wages and the lack of benefits, in most cases, earned by undocumented workers. And yet we see that as the gulf between citizens of this country, the economic gulf widens between the rich and the working poor, that there are people like Tancredo.
Your job, go to Mexico or to Central America or to some country on the Pacific Rim when your employer moved it there looking for lower labor costs, you feel very insecure. And there are a lot of very insecure feeling people in our world right now, working people in our country, and a lot of them are white, but they're not just white. You know, they're African Americans and they're immigrants after all. You know, when factories go to Mexico, sometimes, well, let's take Green Giant in Watsonville, right? That was mm-hmm. a big factory, big freezer that closed, and the people who lost their jobs, ironically, were Mexican, overwhelmingly, Mexican immigrants living here. So when you have that kind of insecurity, what happens is that politicians like Tancredo and like the governor come along and see this as an opportunity to get reelected and make political hay by looking for scapegoats and pointing to scapegoats. And so instead of trying to deal with the real problem of, you know, do we need a national pension system in this country that really guarantees people a decent kind of life when they get to be too old to work? Or do we need a national health care system that can provide health care for everybody? Instead of addressing those kinds of problems, you know, point the finger and say, well, the reason why you're having such a rough time of it here is because somebody has stolen your job.
Mm-hmm. David, we got to take a break. When we return, we'll talk more about immigration and labor issues. And I believe you might have a challenge for organized labor on this issue. I'll ask you about that as we return. You can call the program 831-899-5792 or toll free at 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Join R.J. Moyet for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyet brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyet. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley, bringing you Talking Matters. You may already know me as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or maybe you've seen me on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, and Good Morning America. Or heard my voice on The Simpsons. And now my show, Talking Matters, starts right here, Saturday, February 11th, 3 to 5 p.m. We're here to touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Tune in to my Valentine special, February 11th at 3. It's full of laughter, tears, and great ideas. You'll hear couples with heart-pounding stories. We'll talk about the biochemistry of love hormones and the hot topic of emotional infidelity. Talking Matters, live streaming on the web and archived 24/7 at talkingmattersradio.org. So let's keep talking. Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday,
Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, chefs, farmers, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by the Monterey County Growers and Vintners Association's 4th Annual Passport Weekend, February 17th, 18th, and 19th, travel the world without packing a suitcase.
KRXA 540 brings you the latest traffic information for your ride home. Here she is, Metro Diane.
Actually, not too much to tell you about this time around. There's one accident in Live Oak at 17th Avenue and Bromer Street. This isn't...
421 now. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is David Bacon, associate editor at Pacific Media. Try to pull them out of the shadows because we create an illegal environment that makes life even more difficult for people who are often separated from their families and their home cultures and simply trying to eke out a living here under difficult circumstances in the United States. And with the exception of the Pacific Media, try to pull them out of the shadows because we create an illegal environment that makes life even more difficult for people who are often separated from their families and their home cultures and simply trying to eke out a living here under difficult circumstances in the United States. And with the exception of the UFW, the farm workers, and some unions like SEIU, organized labor has not really been a friend to the undocumented worker in America and doesn't have terribly enlightened policies on immigration. Is that fair?
Well, I think that it's a fair statement, but I think some historical context is sort of in order here, because there's always been a big debate about immigration in the labor movement in this country, and there have always been unions who saw immigrants as being kind of a threat. You know, folks were coming from at that time. These days, labor is much more of a defender of immigrants than it was during the years of the Cold War and, you know, that very conservative period in our own recent past. In 1998, the AFL-CIO held a convention in Los Angeles, and at that convention, it changed its position on immigration. It called for an amnesty or a legalization program for the undocumented people who are here. It called for dropping the federal law that makes it a crime for somebody to work, hold a job if they don't have any papers. It said that the government should make it easier for people to reunite their families. And it also opposed President Bush's pet idea, which is this guest worker idea of bringing immigrants into the United States, but under conditions which would sort of resemble kind of slavery or indentured servitude.
Third-class citizenship at best.
Yeah, even worse than being undocumented in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you see this taking shape? You have a book, Beyond Borders, that is due for publication in the near future. Is that right?
That's right. And I also have one that was published last year called The Children of NAFTA, which takes a look at the kinds of things that the U.S. has done, especially in Mexico, that have kind of uprooted people. You know, NAFTA, for instance, made it much easier for big U.S. corporations to dump corn on the market in Mexico. And when they did that and made it really impossible for people to survive as small farmers in the Mexican countryside, those people had to go somewhere in order to be able to make a living and to, you know, put food on the table for their families. And very often, you know, the solution that they came up with was to come to the United States. So in a lot of ways, NAFTA really created an enormous pressure on people in Mexico to come to the United States. And that's part of the story that I tell in that book, although I also tell the story of what working people in Mexico and the U.S. tried to do to change that situation, too.
Mm-hmm. And, David, given the climate we described and one-party rule in Washington, is it dicey to attempt any efforts legislatively to improve the situation for undocumented workers, given that the likely outcome would be worse than what we have today?
Well, I think that is what the first thing that we have to do, and that is we have to stop the horrible ideas that are on the table in Congress. Before the Christmas recess, the House of Representatives passed the Sensenbrenner bill, which is House H.R. 4437, which would actually, as I said before, make it a felony, imprisonable felony, simply to be in the United States without papers. And it also deprives workers and undocumented people of due process rights. It's a very, very negative and repressive bill. So the Senate is going to take up that bill. And one of the first things that has to happen is, you know, that bill has to be stopped. And then President Bush, with his own ideas about, you know, this sort of captive labor force, you know, of guest workers, you know, that has to be stopped too. So before we can get a chance to discuss the things that should be done to bring people out of the shadows, as you suggested, we have to stop the proposals in Congress that are going to drive people even further into those shadows.
And that's not an easy task these days. Progressives are splintered in many respects. We just saw what I thought was a golden opportunity for some unity on the center and left around the Alito confirmation, and it kind of fizzled in a way that disappoints me.
Well, you know, the Democratic Party is sometimes not the best defender of the interests of working people, whether they're immigrants or not. And unfortunately, in this current situation, we have a number of Democrats in Congress who are pretty anti-immigrant, our own Senator Dianne Feinstein being one of them.
Indeed.
And then we also have a lot of Democrats who are in favor of this guest worker idea. So it is an uphill battle, I think. But I'm an optimist. I believe that we can defeat these proposals.
Well, David, I thank you for your time today, and I look forward to the book Beyond Borders. Would you get in touch with us when it's published, and we'll invite you back to talk further?
I'd love to do that.
David Bacon, Associate Editor, Pacific News Service. I'm Peter B. Collins. Stay tuned. Coming up next, State Senator Deborah Bowen checks in, inviting you to hearings in the Capitol tomorrow about open source codes for electronic voting machines. If we're going to have them, that's a minimum requirement in my book. We'll continue there right after a break on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Please join House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi and former White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta as they celebrate Congressman Sam Farr's 30 years of public service. Sunday, February 12th at the Hyatt Regency Monterey, local and national leaders will pay tribute to Sam's work on behalf of the Central Coast and the nation. That's Sunday, February 12th at the Hyatt Regency Monterey, starting at 6 p.m. For tickets or information, call 373-4607. That's 373-4607. Authorized and paid for by the Friends of Farr Committee.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage.
Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
It is useless to resist us.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, live up and down the left coast, live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz, live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And if you've listened more than once, you've probably picked up that I have great concerns about the voting system in California and in Ohio, for that matter. We've talked a lot about Ohio in recent weeks. State Senator Deborah Bowen, Democrat from Redondo Beach and a candidate for Secretary of State in the primary this June, joins us on the program this afternoon to invite you to another hearing in the state capitol tomorrow. It'll convene at 9 a.m. in room 4202. And the topic for discussion, Senator, is a gentle question. Does open source software have a place in California's electoral system? I know the answer, but you've got some experts who will be testifying about that tomorrow. Welcome back to our program.
Great to be with you, and I'm really looking forward to it. People who can't make the trek to Sacramento shouldn't worry. It will be broadcast online, and it will be televised on the California channel.
So okay, and it starts at 9 a.m., so if you have to work, you can set up a TiVo or a VCR to record it.
Right.
And, Senator, this is a question that seems obvious to many of us who really want honest election systems, transparency in their operation, and we want clarity that there is no prospect that these systems can be hacked or manipulated in a manner that is anti-democratic. And so it seems simple to me that, yes, we should insist that public elections be conducted with machinery that's based on open source code, not on the proprietary code of a corporation.
It does seem fairly obvious, doesn't it? But, you know, there are a number of companies that have been in business selling the proprietary code, and as is true of anything else, they're out to protect their turf. So I must tell you, I just before I called in got an AP release that says that Diebold's new CEO is reviewing whether the company should continue investing in its embattled electronic voting business.
Really?
Now, this has been something that I felt was obvious, too. You know, the company has had so much trouble with it, and the e-voting, the touchscreen voting, is such a small part of its business. I don't understand why it would want to continue taking that much grief over something that doesn't make it that much money.
Well, there's some of us who are suspicious, and I don't consider myself paranoid, but given what has occurred over the last few election cycles, there are many of us who at least nurse certain suspicions that there are political connections to the development, placement of these electronic voting machines, and that the profit margin might not be measured in a direct way.
Right. Well, you don't have to have suspicions about the political connections. You just have to look at the performance record. There is an election in Ohio that's being rerun this week because of errors in the Diebold machine.
That's in Montgomery County where Dayton is, yes.
Right. And there was a runoff election for a local seat in Florida, interestingly enough, run by Teresa Lepore, who people may remember as the person who designed the butterfly ballot in Florida in 2000. And in that race, there was one race on the ballot. It was a runoff. And according to the statistics after the use of the Diebold machine, 78 people went to the polls, signed in, went to the polling, into the booth, and then decided not to vote. So there were 78 people who simply didn't have a vote recorded. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were not intending to vote in a runoff election where there was only one race on the ballot, I would sit at home with the TV remote. I wouldn't bother to go to the polling place, sign in, look at the screen, and then say, oh, I changed my mind. I don't really want to vote in this after all.
And, Senator, in Montgomery County, Ohio, the allegation is, the allegation that caused them to rerun the local election, is that there were significantly more votes cast than there were registered voters who actually showed up that day.
And that has happened in a number of places. It isn't just that election. There are errors in the number of voters, errors where fewer votes. North Carolina, where there was a precinct where over 7,000 people voted and only 3,200 people had their votes cast. So, tallied, rather, and they cast their votes. So there are problems with these machines. And as you pointed out at the beginning, the biggest problem is that we, the members of the public, can't tell what's going on. We don't get to see what happens to a ballot that's cast as we do when someone takes a paper ballot and tallies it.
Mm-hmm. Senator, what would be the benefits of open source code that is used to program and operate these electronic voting machines as compared to the proprietary codes which are now used but owned by the companies who sell the machines to state governments?
Well, the major benefit is disclosure. Open source, by its very nature, is available for inspection by anyone who wants to inspect it. I think we'll also have testimony tomorrow from people who believe that it is more secure because there are more people who are looking at the code and who can suggest improvements, and that is why the National Security Agency uses it. Now, I don't want to hold up the NSA as a model for most things.
Thank you.
But I don't believe that they would be using open source software if they thought that it were insecure.
Mm-hmm. So you have an interesting parade of scheduled testimony tomorrow. Michael Evans, corporate development at Red Hat. Bill Welty, chief information officer of the California Air Resources Board. Peter Newman is a principal scientist, computer science laboratory at SRI on the San Francisco Peninsula. Deirdre Mulligan, director of the Samuelson Law Technology and Public Policy Clinic. And you also note that Diebold, Hart InterCivic, and Sequoia Voting Systems have been invited. Hart had declined as of yesterday. Any word back from Diebold or Sequoia?
I don't believe so at this point.
And what about our mysterious Secretary of State, Bruce McPherson? Has he been invited?
He's always welcome. He declined to testify. He sent representatives when I held a hearing on the county's readiness. I was very concerned in January that we had many counties who don't know how they're going to be conducting elections. And I was pleased to see that after I conducted that hearing, the Secretary of State set some deadlines for submission of applications and then asked the counties for a contingency or backup plan, which is something that I asked 2 weeks before at the hearing. So nice to see that you can have an effect in government.
Well, that's good. And the current status of the June primary is still kind of murky, is it not?
It is. We have 17 or 18 counties, depends on how you count, who are hoping to use the Diebold TSX machines. We have some counties who are going to use equipment which we know is certified, and we have others that are looking at going back to paper. So, this is the middle of February, and we need to have the registrars need to have time to set up the program and to recruit and train poll workers, which is not an easy task if you're going to use different equipment than has been used in the past.
And many voters are planning. Is that your recommended route to avoid any concerns about manipulation or a failure to conduct a transparent election?
Well, I've always believed in allowing people to be permanent absentee voters. In fact, I carried a bill to create permanent absentee voting status in 1993, which was vetoed by then-Governor Wilson. But I am working this year to make sure that we have better audits of the absentee vote. The people who are concerned about absentee voting are concerned that those ballots are counted too.
Pull out of the electronic voting marketplace. The company has been battered. Its stock is well below where it was a year or two ago. And they've also suffered management changes. They have serious credibility issues in their core businesses. If they do pull out of the electronic voting marketplace, what would be the impact? Would it simply leave us with fewer choices and thrust more people into the arms of Sequoia and ES&S?
Well, I think it will create a more serious discussion about using open source software. And, historically in this country, we have a patchwork of voting equipment. And when you ask people who set up elections in emerging democracies about that, they scratch their heads in wonderment and say, why are you people using, so many different voting systems, it's very hard to create audit procedures to verify the system. So it may be that we move eventually towards one system, but it certainly will cause us to have a renewed look at open source software and at better procedures for the whole transparency in the whole process.
Mm-hmm. Well, Senator, thanks for joining us for this update today, and do keep us posted on any significant developments in your own battle to fight for our interest in free elections and transparent processes that are free of manipulation, hacking, or any other concerns that we've expressed about the legitimacy of our democratic processes.
Well, thank you for focusing on this issue, Peter. There aren't a lot of places where people can learn firsthand about it. I will let people know if they have questions, they want to stay updated, if they sign up at deborahbowen.com, and it's DEBRABOWEN. We email whenever there's something going on. Right now we're asking people to contact the Secretary of State to release information about a voting system that we know had problems in Merced County in November.
Mm-hmm. All right. And a final curveball question, where is the best surf off the California coast?
Well, it has to be just off the coast of Los Angeles if you're not in the Santa Cruz area.
Very well put. She's a diplomat with a political future. State Senator Deborah Bowen, the hearing is tomorrow morning, February 8th, 9 a.m. in room 4202 at the state capitol. And if you can't attend, catch it on the California Channel. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Peter.
Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about the surf conditions on the California coast and a lot of other stories, too. And coming up right after 5 o'clock, it's our weekly visit with Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Melanie Sloan will join us. And the Free Speech Zone is officially open. You can call me on 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. Toll free from everywhere else at 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 5.
Offering a 30-minute free consultation, which will resolve these issues and explain how to undo the mistakes you may have already made. Meet with Michelle to create a plan that will preserve and protect your life savings and distribute them in the most tax-advantaged way. Call today, won't you? 641-0236. That's 831-641-0236. KRXA 54.
Also an accident in Sand City, northbound 1 at Tioga Avenue. Two vehicles involved in this one. CHP en route to check and see if it's blocking any lanes there. And finally, a little bit of good news. Live Oak, 17th Avenue of Brommer Street, an earlier injury accident has been cleared. This report is brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Department. Toyota owners, right now your participating Genuine Toyota Service Center is giving away gas cards worth up to $20 with qualifying service or tire purchases. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA.
Surf is up on the California coastline. The Mavericks were out competing along the San Mateo coastline earlier today. If you happen to be there, I'd love a live report. You can give me a call right now, 831-899-5792, or toll-free at 888-579-2540. I happen to know that the cell service there right in the Maverick area isn't that great. But, you know, you can still check in wherever you happen to be. And there's a fascinating article in the local section of the San Francisco Chronicle today which describes the unique conditions there just north of Half Moon Bay where the Mavericks Reef is located. And it doesn't really translate very well for me to describe this to you on the radio. But if you go to the Chronicle website or you pop 50 cents in a machine and pick up the paper, I think you might find it fascinating to see the conditions that make this one of the ideal surf zones along the California coastline. Chronicle website is sfgate.com, and the article is written by outdoors writer Paul McHugh. I like the water. I'm a scuba diver. A lot of different things, but I've never really mastered that art of surfing. And so my hat is off to those of you who are skilled at that. And I hope people have been having a whole lot of fun out along the coast here today. Lots to talk about in the news, and I welcome your calls on any subject. Again, my number is 831-899-5792, Central Coast, or toll-free from Eureka, anywhere else you happen to be listening, at 888-579-2540. We are officially in the free speech zone. We'll be taking calls. Our tune is just that. It is an expression of someone's opinions, often fueled by fantasies or whims, and to imagine that at least five people have died in Afghanistan, and these riots have broken out in front of Danish embassies and now Norwegian embassies in Egypt, Pakistan, Syria, as well as Afghanistan. This becomes a very serious issue driven by a very trivial provocation. And it does appear that these reactions are being fueled by some interesting groups. For example, Danish diplomats see an even heavier hand in some of the violence. Syria has failed to protect a diplomatic mission, said Thomas May, consul general for Denmark in Dubai. He says, if you look at the pictures, you can see that the security people turned their backs after the attack on the embassy in Syria. And it's fair to say that many of these street actions are occurring in police states, where the only people who get out there on the streets and are permitted to protest or even get violent and throw rocks and set fires and do other property destruction, there has to be at least tacit cooperation from the local authorities. And I think it goes beyond that, but I'm not an expert, and I am not located in those parts of the world. And I find it quite ironic that this provocation of these cartoons is seen as so important when, from all accounts, Denmark is one of the nations that is loaded with people who oppose the war, oppose the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. And to me, that is a much more significant issue than any real or imagined slight of the Prophet Muhammad in a cartoon. And consider, in the United States of America, whether it's on the web or in that Santa Cruz cartoon newspaper or, you know, in daily newspapers or fringe publications, there are so many cartoons that are offensive to somebody that if we all had this reaction, well, I guess we just have to shut down the world or expect that anybody could riot at any time because they've been offended by some cartoon somewhere. So I have to believe it's not really about the cartoon, that this is an excuse, a pretext, to launch a pro-Islamic, anti-the-rest-of-the-world backlash. And one wonders where it will lead. Let's go to Billy in Capitola. You're on the air. Billy, good afternoon.
Hi, Peter. So the word today is offense. Offense. I'll get back to that in a minute.
All right.
First of all, let me say to the Sentinel, my local rag, that they had an editorial today about they support the people in Denmark, and they support this, and they support that. Well, they don't support anybody when they are afraid of committing the offense of actually letting us see the cartoon. Okay? So self-censorship is offensive to me. You know, now
well,
I want to bring in the...
hold on, Billy. I believe that most forms of censorship are highly inappropriate in a secular society where we have the right to look at any material and be offended in our own right. But, you know, that's the whole gist of free expression.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about the Coretta Scott King Memorial today.
Okay.
I've got such joy, such nachas, seeing Bush offended the way he was. Did you know about that, by the way?
You know, I haven't been able to see it yet, so fill me in.
Okay, so the Reverend Lowry gets up there and says, well, we know there were no weapons of mass destruction.
He did? Everybody
gets up and cheers.
All right.
And then he goes on to say, and we know that there were weapons of mass distraction, or no, disinformation, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Basically called the president a liar to his face, and everybody loved it. And I enjoyed it so much. And of course, the Republicans are complaining. They're offended that And, you know, isn't it funny? Ultimately, what are they offended by? They're offended by the fact that people had free speech about nonviolence, which is what Coretta King stood for.
Right.
Speaking up, stepping out, and being nonviolent. So, of course, they, you know, as always, the Republicans are saying, telling us what we aren't allowed to say. And then let me talk about the fence in Israel. And I'm beginning to understand the fence in Israel. When people behave in this fashion, when they're so easy to offend, because I heard today from one of these fellows speaking for Islam, saying, well, you know, you just can't do this. You know, we got to be unoffensive to each other's religions. We must respect each other's religions. And the answer is, no, that's wrong. You need to fence yourselves in somewhere, because I intend to offend you and every other religion I can find every day. That's my right as an American.
But, Billy, how does offense really advance any interest? And in most cases, it is a wall. And my view is that this is an irrational response to irrational behavior.
Exactly.
And
you're absolutely right.
I don't believe that leads in a healthy direction for anyone. And certainly, if we build our futures around the expectation of religious riots based on a cartoon.
Exactly.
Then where the hell are we going?
Well, that's my point. You got it. The fact is that I don't get how you exist in a world where people think it's okay to kill people and to burn things and go nuts over cartoons. You see, in that world, we need fences higher than we have them now. We need to think about who we're willing to let emigrate to this country.
Billy, I got to stop you there. Thanks for your call. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Melanie Sloan joins us next.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory-recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo-certified and factory-trained technician with over 16 years' experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Bush was one of four presidents at the six-hour-plus funeral for Coretta Scott King in suburban Atlanta.
We knew Mrs. King in all the seasons of her life. And there was grace and beauty in every season.
Senator Ted Kennedy was also there.
She knew deep in her heart that none of us are free until we all are free.
Coretta Scott King died last week at the age of 78. General Motors announced stockholders will make less money, and CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says so will the bosses. The chairman's salary is being cut in half.
Cutting top executive salary is really more of a symbolic move on the part of General Motors to try and gain leverage when it has to go to the bargaining table with the UAW in the weeks ahead. General Motors thinking, if we give you concessions from the executive suites, perhaps we'll get more concessions from our blue-collar workers. And for its part today, the UAW said, while it will go to the bargaining table, it is not prepared to make any more new concessions for General Motors.
Vice President Dick Cheney said today those in the know, those briefed about the NSA terror surveillance program, never once suggested problems over the last 18 months. As for Iran and its nuclear weapons aspirations,
we have made it clear that no options are off the table. We obviously are pursuing a diplomatic road to resolve this matter. We think that's the way to go. But the president's also made it clear that no options are off the table.
Cheney on the PBS NewsHour. A new Pew Research study shows more and more Americans see Iran as the biggest threat to the U.S. 27% put Iran at the top, more than for Iraq or North Korea. Firefighters took the battle back into the air near Anaheim, California, to try to keep the wildfire from reaching the homes. That fire's three times as big right now as it was this time yesterday.
Yesterday, the wind gusts were up to 60 miles per hour. Today, they have been much less, wind gusts of up to 35 miles per hour. So that has made a huge difference for fire crews today. But there are still red flag warnings, and that means that we are in severe fire danger.
CBS News correspondent Karen Brown, red flags fly all the way from Santa Barbara down to the Mexico border. What if your mobile home, flapping there on your hip as you take your morning run, what if it knew how far you ran and how hard you worked?
It's kind of a very high-tech pedometer and cyclometer that not only measures time and distance, but effort, because it knows your altitude. It even knows the humidity and the temperature where you are, so it can get a sense of how hard the workout was.
CBS News technology consultant Larry Maggot says it's called Bones in Motion, an automatic electronic journaling system. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 48.5 points to close at nearly 10,750. The Nasdaq off about 14. Oil prices, $63.09 a barrel, down $2.02. This is CBS News.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds I get my credit report and credit score free.
I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score with enrollment and triple advantage at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
If you enjoy helping people and want to turn that passion into a career, you can. Right now, the Home Depot has full and part-time employment opportunities for sales, cashier, lot, department supervisor, and other positions. We're an equal opportunity employer with excellent benefits, tuition reimbursement, and thorough training. If this sounds like the perfect fit for you, apply at careers.homedepot.com or at your nearest Home Depot store. We'd love for you to be a part of our team, the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
The IRS wants you to know, don't try to scam the service with their own forms.
The IRS says people are using legit IRS forms for what they were not intended. The service's Eric Smith says one's a 4852, a form to correct the original W-2 from your employer telling how much you made.
Use that same form and show that there was zero income, zero wages, and maybe perhaps withholding, and say that they owe no tax or perhaps even have a refund.
Another's filing a tax abatement form, 843, essentially telling the IRS to abate the federal taxes the IRS says you owe. Lou Miliano, CBS News.
What's a zoo without an elephant exhibit? They're going to find out in New York at the famous Bronx Zoo. Maxine, Patty, and Happy will be the last elephants to be on display at the Bronx Zoo. They are Asian elephants. They're all females and all healthy. But they won't be replaced when they die. On the other hand, that's likely to be a while. They may live another 30 years. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Dave, you can't sit outside on the window ledge with your laptop. We're on the 19th floor.
I can't sit next to Bob. He looks terrible.
Dave, try my Emergen-C. The powder in the little packet's loaded with vitamin C, B vitamins, and essential minerals. Just mix it in your water.
Oh, it's fizzing.
That's Emergen-C. It gives your immune system a boost. Now, Dave, please come back inside.
I will, for a few packets of your Emergen-C. Besides, I think that pigeon just sneezed.
Emergen-C for life. Find it in the vitamin C section.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm, and it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy, taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Later this hour, I'm going to say something nice about Senior Senator Dianne Feinstein from California. But not right away. My lines are open for you in the free speech zone this hour. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, a local call. Toll free from anywhere else within the sound of my voice at 1-888-579-2540. But first up, our weekly visit with Melanie Sloan, the Executive Director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And I specially selected our music of the moment. It's from Bob Geldof and the Boomtown Rats. And it's called Whitehall 1212. That is the phone number for Scotland Yard in London. And some days, Melanie, I think that Scotland Yard might do a better job of investigating some of our scandals than people based on these shores. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me. I often think, you know, a class of first graders could do a better job.
Touché. First up, I want to talk about the mood for reform. The president had a beautiful line. Let me see if I can find it here in the State of the Union message. And he linked the concern that average Americans have about culture and about corruption in Washington, bizarrely, with judges who promote same-sex marriage. But at least the president mentioned that he is aware that there is an ethics problem right there in Washington, D.C., right there in the House and Senate, where he gave the State of the Union message last week. But on the issue of reform, we see both Democrats and Republicans really working around the edges and giving us press releases and some lofty proposals that really have very little in the way of enforcement powers, or teeth, as we like to call them. And one of the issues has to do with what's called earmarks. And a lot of people don't understand exactly what that means, but we have seen an exponential growth in the use of the congressional earmark by members of the House and Senate in the last 10 years, to the point where this is a huge slush fund. And basically, depending on your seniority and your clout, you go in and you just demand a certain amount of money for a pet project in your district. Not all of these projects are pure pork or wasteful spending. Some of it is worthwhile. It's just the way the money is generated and delivered that leaves a lot of people with questions and with concerns about the way it's handled, often without any oversight, without any daylight. So are we going to see any real reform in the earmark process, Melanie?
Well, apparently the answer to that is no. John Boehner, who was just elected to the majority leader position, last week, before he was elected majority leader, was talking about the need for reform and even the need for reforming earmarks. And then this Sunday on Meet the Press, after he was elected majority leader on Thursday, he said he didn't really see the need for all that reform after all.
And Senator Feinstein has teamed up, I believe, with Senator Lott for a bipartisan proposal to preserve the earmark, just to kind of change the rules for how it's used, right?
Yes. I will say that on behalf of Senator Feinstein and Senator Lott's proposal, they are talking about allowing people to do something that's very technical called raise a point of order about a potential earmark. And when you raise a point of order on the Senate or the House floor, you're saying that this is out of order. This piece of legislation, this thing we're talking about, doesn't belong on this bill here. And historically, you haven't been able to do that with earmarks. And so that's been a way to protect your earmarks. You know, you could have, say, an earmark for a bridge on a bill that's about something like Medicare, for, you know, just as a terrible example. But you could, something totally unrelated, you could put your earmark in. And now they're going to say, well, no, you're not going to be able to do at least that anymore.
So if you want a bridge, it's got to be an earmark in the transportation budget?
Right, which of course they did do. We know famously of the bridge to nowhere that Ted Stevens put in the last transportation bill.
Mm-hmm. But of course he backpedaled only by renaming it, and the same amount of money is going to Alaska, and it appears to be intended for the bridge to nowhere. They just have kind of muddied the waters about the exact route of that funding.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, members of the Senate should all be embarrassed and ashamed of themselves over that bridge, which connects, I believe, all of 83 people to mainland Alaska at a cost of, I think, something around $283 million.
So do you feel that the Feinstein measure is a good first step, or is it an attempt to make minor fixes to the problem while claiming that we've fixed the whole thing?
I think it's probably a little more of the latter. You know, the problem is that only, again, you know, after the whole Jack Abramoff mess, do senators and members of Congress realize that the public is really starting to demand some kind of change. And so they want to offer some kind of change without actually giving up any of their power and authority. So I'm afraid that when you hear all these calls for lobbying reform and earmarks are one of those reforms, and you hear this from both parties, they're talking about they want a message more than they want to really act.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little more about Congressman Boehner from Ohio, because it's been interesting to me to see the way he has been able to play the media. Clearly, a lot of reporters and anchors like this man. And Chris Matthews flatly declared upon the change of the guard there, Blunt being defeated in the caucus and Boehner being selected as the new majority leader, I believe the quote is, Republicans have made a clean break. And only when David Gergen came on the program did he kind of squeeze in some facts about the K Street Project, about Boehner being the point man from the Republican leadership to the lobbyists on K Street. And as our listeners know, that was a detailed long-term project to bring lobbyists' cash into political campaigns and to permit lobbyists in return to not only help shape legislation, but often sit down and write the specific language.
Right. By no means is Boehner a clean break from the past. Boehner is known to be one of the members most tied into the lobbying community. In fact, I believe he has more former staff who have become lobbyists than any other member. It's just that when you compared him to Roy Blunt, the acting majority leader and now the majority whip, he looked like the Boy Scout. Blunt really was beyond the pale bad. I mean, next to Tom DeLay, he probably had the most serious ethical problems of any members of Congress. And so Boehner was able to, also Blunt was known to be the sort of second to Tom DeLay. And so when members felt like they needed a break from the DeLay era, Blunt was sort of out of luck there because he was too closely tied to DeLay. And Boehner had been on the outskirts of the top leadership for a while. So he looked like the reform candidate. And in fact, he talked like he was a reform candidate. It's only literally after he became the majority leader that he started saying, well, maybe they didn't need so much reform after all. Maybe they didn't need to actually do anything about the travel, privately funded travel. And although he doesn't personally do earmarks, and I'll give him credit for that, he has not in his career used the earmark himself. Mm-hmm. He also doesn't think there needs to be legislation to outlaw them either.
Wow. So it's really more of the same, not a clean break from the past.
No, it's definitely more of the same. Same song, second verse, I think you'd say.
Yeah. Melanie, just a quick question about Bob Ney. What's the status of the potential indictment there?
Still coming down the pike. I think you will see Bob Ney as the next member of Congress to be indicted in the Jack Abramoff scandal. And needless to say, of course, there's still no member of Congress filing an ethics complaint against him.
Okay, keep us posted there. And finally, I wanted to ask you about this. I was sick last week and not able to be on the show the day you appeared. And a week ago Sunday, columnist in the San Francisco Chronicle, Deborah J. Saunders, wrote a piece about Richard Pombo, essentially whitewashing any potential involvement in the Abramoff scandal. She let him off the hook on Abramoff without any real evidence to support her sweeping claim that he has no culpability. And furthermore, she claimed in her column that you had not gotten back to her before press time, and she went on to avoid a lot of the questions that have been raised about conflicts of interest, Pombo's family's deep into the wind farming business, which is regulated by the Resources Committee that he chairs. He lobbied on behalf of the family wind farm business with the Interior Department. There's letters that establish that. And furthermore, he and his family stand to gain handsomely from the siting of new freeways in his district, and he's already won $21 million in a planning grant for the freeways that would bypass or actually go right by properties that the Pombo family owns. I wanted to know if you had a reaction to the Saunders column.
She's a very conservative columnist, and she looked like she was basically being an apologist for Pombo, if you ask me. She really didn't address any of the problems Richard Pombo had. She didn't talk about any of the conflicts of interest. All she said was, you know, he's not really related to this Abramoff scandal. But the fact is, I mean, Richard Pombo's been involved in the whole Marianas Islands business. He's been involved as the chairman of the House Resources Committee with Indian tribes, and certainly he's also running that committee. He's refused to hold a single hearing about Abramoff and the Indian tribes, and I think Mr. Pombo has a lot of questions to answer, and he's refusing to answer them.
Yeah. Well, thanks for covering that. I just wanted to touch on it before it got too far back into the recesses of our memories. Melanie, thanks a lot, and keep up the good work. We'll talk next week.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Melanie Sloan and the website CitizensFOR, citizensforethics.org. You can read more about the items we just discussed. My lines are open now for the rest of this hour into the free speech zone. I want to hear from you. 831-899-5792, Central Coast. Toll free from everywhere at 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory-recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo-certified and factory-trained technician with over 16 years' experience. Mike's partner Tracy is also a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily from 10 to 7.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on the way home. Here she is, Metro Diane.
We have stalled vehicle in Salinas. It's West Blanco Road at Davis Road. One of the lanes is blocked by this stalled vehicle, so definitely keep your eyes open for that. In Monterey, northbound Highway 1 at Highway 218, we have a two-vehicle accident in the center divide. And an earlier accident in Santa Cruz, southbound 17 at Highway 1. CHP working on moving the vehicles there off to City Streets in order to take a report.
This report is brought to you by the California Lottery. Until February 17th, an extra $1 million will be added to the Mega Millions 5 of 5 prize pool. Just match 5 out of 5 numbers and win big. Must be 18 and over to play. Please play responsibly. I'm dying with traffic on KRXA 540.
Yeah, don't drive and scratch at the same time. It's just not a good idea. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, where citizenship is not required. We're in the free speech zone here on the PBC show. Your calls are welcome the rest of this hour, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 888-579-2540. You can also drop me an email, peter@krxa540.com. And to add to the mix, I find that the annual budget process can make for deadly radio. And so I'm not going to read to you any details of President Bush's proposed budget for the coming fiscal year. But here's a reaction from the New York Times, lead editorial today. President Bush's $2.7 trillion budget is fiction masquerading as fact. A governmental version of the made-up memoirs that have been denounced up and down the continent lately. Don't forget on the couch. The spending proposal is built around the pretense that the same House and Senate that are set to consider a record deficit of $423 billion will now impose a virtual freeze on everything other than Pentagon and Homeland Security outlays. The budget writers even fantasized an end to Social Security's lump sum death benefit, a whopping $255 per dead person, as if Congress would dare to do something so heartless and easy to exploit in an election year. The point of all these imaginary financial projections is to give the president leeway to cement in place hundreds of billions of dollars in tax cuts the nation can ill afford and does not need. The cuts were made temporary in the first place because there was no way to even pretend that budgets could be balanced in the future with such an enormous loss of revenue. Now, to pay his top priorities, the military and tax cuts, the president is relying on proposed spending cuts. While Congress will never make some of them, it may make others, but only at the peril of the poor and the middle class. Those cuts include basic needs in education, environment protection, medical research, low-income housing for the elderly and disabled, community policing, and supplemental food for the needy. The budget is steeped in campaign year pretensions, billboarding $65 billion in savings across the next 5 years, more than half of it in Medicare, even as tax revenue is further choked. A Congress up for re-election should be wary of taking that path, particularly as the open-end costs of the Iraq War dwarf all promised savings. And, of course, the cost of the Iraq War is off budget. It's Enron'd offshore. That's right. They use these supplemental appropriations that are not considered part of the main budget. It's a kind of fakery, a kind of legerdemain, and they keep getting away with it. We will pay, friends. We will pay. Donna in Big Sur, thanks for holding. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Good afternoon.
Oh, hi, Peter. I've been listening every day, but I've been really busy, so I haven't had time to call you. But
good to hear from you.
Yeah,
thanks for listening.
Totally,
we appreciate that.
The last, you know, thing that you said there was just, you know, right on spot. But what's on my mind today is I read a quote real quick from a book by G.M. Ford. I can't remember the name of the book right now,
okay. But
the quote was, when we resort to Gestapo tactics, we have let the terrorists win.
Well, I certainly agree with that.
And okay.
I, for one, here I'm going to deliver on my promise to say something nice about Dianne Feinstein.
Okay.
I was deeply impressed by her impassioned performance at the Judiciary Committee yesterday and on the Chris Matthews Hardball show. She was on opposite Orrin Hatch, who was busy apologizing for the Gonzalez White House position. And Feinstein did not give an inch. And she, with one exception, I think represented the true interests of the American people in living under the Constitution and under law, and not simply permitting a president to make the law as he goes along. The one quibble I have with her is that politically, she premised her remarks at the judiciary yesterday, and we actually played a clip if you had a chance to listen yesterday about this time, where she said that she supports this kind of surveillance. She simply wants it done legally.
Right.
And I think that while politically that is expedient for Democrats who feel that they underperform and are perceived as weaker on national security and terrorism than the Republicans, I think that standing up for the Constitution has no downside. And I believe that that is where Democrats should be, not with this kind of nuanced position. Oh, we support spying on Americans and spying on Al-Qaeda. We simply want it done in a legal manner.
Absolutely, but don't forget she's on the Trilateral Commission.
Well, that's not all. She's married to a man who benefits greatly from the defense complex in this country. And there are a lot of other compromises that I think Senator Feinstein has made. But in this moment, yesterday, I was proud of the position she took. And given her history as being an apologist for the Defense Department and being a Republican light, I found that her statements were very strong. And that's why I billboarded it the way I did. I don't usually compliment Senator Feinstein. I find a lot to criticize her for. But in this case, I felt she stood up, for the most part, for the issues that you and I believe are near and dear.
One other little thing to say real quick.
Go, Donna.
You hear Jimmy Carter's speech at the memorial today?
I will. I'll have to watch for it on TV. And Jack Carter, his son, is running for the Senate in Nevada. That's the other good news from the Carter family today. Thanks for joining us, Donna. More calls next on the PBC Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Life's journey is both exciting and challenging. There are times when we all need a knowledgeable and caring guide to assist us along our life's path. If you or someone you know is facing retirement, let Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources provide you with the insightful and reasoned assistance that can only be obtained by many years of dedicated study and professional experience as a certified estate planner. Michelle Ashen will show you how to create and grow wealth, how to protect and preserve your life savings.
She'll show you how to distribute a portion of your life savings in the most tax-advantaged way while you are living, and how to facilitate the distribution of the remainder of your life savings in the most tax-advantaged way when you pass away. Let Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources share with you the benefit of her specialized knowledge and expertise. Make the most of your life and life savings. Call Michelle Ashen for a free consultation. 641-0236. That's 641-0236.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley, bringing you Talking Matters. You may already know me as the author of Voice Power and Whose Body Is It Anyway? Or maybe you've seen me on Oprah, CNN, Dateline, and Good Morning America, or heard my voice on The Simpsons. But now I can invite you to join me on my own show, Talking Matters, starting right here, Saturday, February 11, 3 to 5 p.m. We'll talk about matters that touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. We'll explore your dreams, secrets, hopes, and sorrows. How are you really dealing with today's world? Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Tune in for inspiring stories, useful ideas, and surprising ahas. Talking Matters, live streaming on the web, and archived 24/7 at talkingmattersradio.org. So let's keep talking, Saturdays at 3 on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, knee-deep in the free speech zone. While the First Amendment is in full effect, use your rights and use that fancy cell phone. We've got a line open for you on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. And you can call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. Just before the break, Donna from Big Sur asked if I'd heard Jimmy Carter's comments, and we have producer Matt Renner here, who on a regular basis makes me look smart and well-informed with information at my fingertips. Thanks to Matt, I've got a link here and quotes from President Carter regarding the FISA law and the bizarre testimony by Alberto Gonzalez before the Judiciary Committee yesterday. Two quotes. Under the Bush administration, there's been a disgraceful and illegal decision. We're not going to let the judges or the Congress or anyone else know that we're spying on the American people, Carter told reporters. And no one knows how many innocent Americans have had their privacy violated under this secret act. He went on to say that he took particular issue with the assertion by the Attorney General that the NSA program is authorized under Article 2 of the Constitution. It's a ridiculous argument. Not only bad, it's ridiculous. Obviously, the Attorney General who said it's all right to torture prisoners and so forth is going to support the person who put him in office. But he's a very partisan Attorney General, and there's no doubt that he would say that, Carter said. I hope that eventually the case will go to the Supreme Court. I have no doubt that when it's over, the Supreme Court will rule that Bush has violated the law. Now, this is a very interesting situation, because it seems very clear to me that Bush is as guilty of violating the FISA law as a thief who's caught with the cash from the bank and that special little red dye, you know, red-handed. That's what red-handed means these days. I mean, it is clear-cut that this president has broken the law, and no amount of spinning, no amount of testimony without the benefit of being under oath by Alberto Gonzalez is going to persuade me otherwise. Yet in the so-called court of public opinion, the media tells us that the president is prevailing, that he's got us all so fearful, that we're cowering in our corner saying, spy! Yeah, if Al-Qaeda's calling, I want to know what they're saying! Well, it's not true. I believe most Americans, including many Republicans, including many people who regard themselves as hardcore conservatives, know a violation of the law when they see it. It is so clear-cut. It is so explicit. And we must use every means available. Legal means. Or even if the NSA is listening today, I'm happy to give you the right to record and disseminate my remarks. But we must be relentless in pressing for our rights. I will not. Jake and Arcata, join me here.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
I'm okay, Jake. I'm getting a little worked up about this. It just drives me over the edge. Can you tell?
Well, yeah, the fact that George Bush wants to destroy the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, yeah, that's something to get worked up over. I agree.
Well, come on. He said it's just a GD piece of paper.
Well, yeah, he just wants to be a dictator after all. Why don't we just let him do what he wants? After all, he's gotten his way his whole life. You know, he's never had to work for anything his whole life. His daddy gave it to him. So we should just give him, you know, his dictatorship, right? Yeah, not. Anyways, I got to send a message program. They're only looking at foreign calls. They're only looking at Al-Qaeda operatives. This is all a bunch of lies, Peter.
Well, and Jake, not only that, these are assertions, all right, that are made with the curtain pulled in front of him. And so he's telling you he knows what's behind the curtain, but of course it would only help the enemy, and they must be laughing as they hear these hearings underway today. That's what Gonzalez said yesterday. They must be laughing as we go about this process of revealing our secret weapons of surveillance to them. Now, any self-respecting terrorist has had to know from day one that the U.S. has this capability and was probably using it. So the only amusement they could have, in my view, is the tortured way that Gonzalez said that George Washington used electronic surveillance. Now, that is so frickin' pathetic that even Osama in his cave in Pakistan has got to be doubled over in laughter on his dialysis machine.
Yeah, well, first of all, I doubt Bin Laden's in Pakistan. He's probably in the Bush White House's Lincoln bedroom, first of all. Second of all, this idea, like you say, that they're saying, George Washington. I can't believe Alberto Gonzalez actually said that. I saw him say it on TV, that George Washington took part in electronic surveillance. Okay, that guy's attorney general? I mean, I'm sorry, but Gonzalez, you know, he shouldn't even be a fry cook. I mean, the guy's an idiot. And second of all these lies Republicans are telling, saying that they're out there, you know, breaking FISA to protect us, it's a lie. They could go to the FISA court. They have 72 hours to get their warrants. Yeah. The FISA court has only turned down five in its entire history. But no, they went around the FISA court. Why? Because they are breaking the law, and they know they're breaking the law. Bush already admitted to it and said he's proud of what he does, and he's going to keep on doing it. Now, that is a guy who needs to be impeached. We don't need a dictator. We need a president, and Bush is a joke.
And again, my apologies to those of you who are shocked that I'm saying something nice about Senator Feinstein. She was the one who mused openly at the hearing yesterday that she suspects that the reason, you know, that they are claiming that this is a legal program and that it's a very narrowly constructed program is that they're doing much more than they want us to know. And so I give her credit for her suspicions and for her stout defense of our constitutional rights.
Well, it's just a matter of common sense. Look at how vindictive the Bush people are. Look at how paranoid people like Dick Cheney and George Bush are. What makes us think they are not spying on their political opponents? You know, Cheney, Rumsfeld, these guys go all the way back to the Nixon administration. And what were the Nixon people doing? Spying on their political opponents and political allies. And apparently, they've been spying, Bush has been spying on people in his own State Department.
Not only that, Jake, I have the benefit of being an old-timer who was around and paying close attention during Watergate. They did exactly what you said. They spied for political reasons, and you can hear the Nixon tapes. There's a little warehouse building in Alexandria, Virginia, and the next time you've got dead time in Washington, D.C., anybody listening to this program, I recommend you go and listen to the Nixon Oval Office tapes, and you can hear for yourself as he tries to create a pretext of national security for the reason why the FBI should back off from investigating the Watergate break-in. And that is, you know, so much of a deja vu of what we are hearing from these people today. And we don't have proof yet that they use this NSA program for domestic political purposes. But they are so political in everything they do and so vindictive that it's hard to imagine that they had the restraint to say, oh, we're only going to listen to Al-Qaeda calls.
You're right, Peter. And we need to keep up the pressure because the Republicans, they're going to walk right off the edge of a cliff on this one if they try to support Bush and all this criminal activity he's committing. It's time we get the truth of what Bush is really up to.
Thank you, Jake. Dave in Pinnacles, join me next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for calling.
How are you doing, Peter?
Well, I'm okay. I'm a little upset about what's going on in our country.
Well, it's easy to, like, reminisce about the dirty tricks that old Tricky Dick played and this and that. But you know what's really mysterious is what I call the Deadwood Do-Nothing Democratic Party. Now, here about a month ago, I called up when we were talking about voting, and I talked to Sam Farr. And instead of finding out, you know, what's actually going on with the rolling heads back there in Washington, he broke into his typical lecture on procedural and, you know, aspects of electing, just your basic dogma, jurisdictional, you know, talks, debates, and this and that. And it just seems like that they are at least complacent, if not absolutely collaborating with the Republican Party in not getting to the bottom of this election story. And I'm just really depressed about it. And it just seems just so outrageous that a fundamental right like a free and open election is being deprived us. And it just seems like they could, at the very least, sue the government with the Freedom of Information Act and find out about the software and what's happening here. I'm just really disgusted with the Democrats, Peter.
Well, Dave, you will not hear me defend the Democrats, particularly when they fail on the job.
They're not doing anything.
To defend the fundamental rights. And I agree with you. If you listen to this show, you know that I regard voting rights and honest elections in this country as one of the most significant and fundamental challenges we face right now. I do think that some Democratic leaders are onto it, John Conyers in particular. But I think that without taking a direct swipe at Sam Farr, I think that we have a problem in the Democratic Party because they get elected by these machines, and so they look at the picture and say, well, gosh, do I really want to rock the boat here? Could it somehow make things worse for me? Now, because of gerrymandering in California, there is hardly a member of the House who will face any significant opposition in the November elections. And I tend to agree with you, Dave, that we need to see more commitment and more conviction on these issues from these safe seat Democrats who have the least to lose by pushing for honest elections and an end to the chicanery that we know is possible using electronic voting machines.
Well, you know,
I don't suggest that it happens every time, but we know it's possible. Go ahead, Dave.
Federal elections seem to have to go by the local rules. And it seems like when we've had instances, like remember during the racism of the 60s, states and local governments could do what they want. But when push came to shove, the federal government clamped down and said, no, we're going to do it this way. Well, why isn't the federal government clamping down and saying, hey, we're not going to have 10 zillion different methods of voting. We're going to get this organized and have one free and open election for
There's
the American
people. There's a simple
people.
Answer. One party rule in Washington, and they're the beneficiaries of the graft, the fraud, and the manipulation of elections. Dave, thanks for your call.
Okay.
I want to hear from you. There's a line open, and we've got time the rest of this hour. Call me, 831-899-5792, Central Coast, or toll free, 888-579-2540. I'm Peter B., and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creator Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Hi, this is Karen from Monterey Floral. Valentine's Day is not far away. Call Monterey Floral to order your sweetheart's bouquet. Chocolates, balloons, and foot baskets are also available. You provide the massage. Let Monterey Floral help you make this Valentine's Day extra special. We are located at 1250 Del Monte Avenue. Give us a call today, mention this ad, and receive a surprise gift. That's 641-0651. 641-0651. Remember, flowers say it all.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, chefs, farmers, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by the Monterey County Growers and Vintners Association's 4th Annual Passport Weekend, February 17th, 18th, and 19th. Travel the world without packing a suitcase.
KRXA 540, taking one more look at your afternoon drive traffic. Here's Metro Diane.
Not much is going on. Most of our earlier accidents have cleared. Just one new item to tell you about this time around. It's in Carmel Valley, Lorella's Grade at Hidden Hills Road. We have an accident there, a motorcycle actually down in the roadway. Reports, though, that the rider is uninjured, just sort of sitting on the guardrail there. So CHP, route to clear that out. Second, the Santa Cruz Mounds, both directions, solid, accident-free. This report is brought to you by ChapStick. Now is a good time to glide on ChapStick Lick Moisturizer. ChapStick refreshes your lips' natural balance so they feel soft and supple. Keep your lips ChapStick healthy. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. Coming up just after 6 o'clock, it's Culture Shocks with Barry Lynn, the head of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Culture Shocks at 6:06 tonight on KRXA 540. And the Peter B. Collins Show into the home stretch this evening. There's still room for your call, 831-899-5792 Central Coast. Toll free from Eureka or anywhere else at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Gail in Salinas is next. Hi, Gail.
Hi, Peter. I heard you say a couple minutes ago that you didn't like what's been going on the last few days.
Yeah.
And I got so disgusted at watching that little weasel Gonzalez lie the other day that I've unplugged from it. And I was going to ask you two things.
Mm-hmm.
One is if you could recap what's happened. And two, is there anything we can do that you know of that would build a fire under the Democrats?
Well,
anything useful that the average person can do?
It does seem that this issue has struck a chord across the aisle.
Good.
And I'm sorry to back into the answer here in this manner, but, Gail, I think what we're seeing is that Democrats become more courageous when they don't feel that they are going to be spun and then wedged into a minority position. And so while I do dispute the way Democrats on the Judiciary Committee all got in a lockstep and said, oh, we're in favor of spying. We just want it done legally. I understand the politics that led them to that position.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that long-term it's a weak position and that adherence to the Constitution is a standard that can never hurt you. So that's my first take there. But as we see some Republicans speaking up and acknowledging that they have grave concerns about the legality of this program, mm-hmm. and that they were much more free in their questioning of the Attorney General than, for example, we saw from any Republican quizzing Judge Alito or Chief Justice Roberts just a few months back.
Right.
So I'm sorry to say that my impression is that Democrats will become bolder when this becomes more of a bipartisan issue. And because of the way Gonzalez spun this and offended many people with evasive answers, with non-answers, with insulting answers,
mm-hmm.
I have some hope that we might see Democrats get bolder and gain more traction on the issue.
Did he get them angry? I couldn't stand to watch the hearings.
Is who hangry?
Did he manage to ruffle the feathers of the Democrats so that they'll start speaking up, do you think?
I didn't hear anybody get angry. And it was all very civil, with the exception of the opening salvo. And this was the very interesting part of the proceedings yesterday. Russ Feingold, who is distinguishing himself more and more as a real leader in the Democratic Party, he asked Chairman Spector to swear in the Attorney General.
Oh, that's right.
To ask him to take an oath to tell the truth.
And
Spector
right?
was really upset by this, and he even said that, you know, this is a bad way to start these hearings. Well, that's insulting to all of us. And for them to dodge the routine swearing in of this type of testimony on such a significant issue. You know, the Attorney General wasn't there to talk about paper clips at the Justice Department or a wayward, junior attorney who filed a frivolous lawsuit. This is one of the most significant cases to come before the Judiciary Committee. And to that extent, you do have to give Spector credit for having the political courage to call the hearings to begin with and to make some of the explicit statements he has that he believes that this program is illegal. That said, he was quite willing to carry water for the White House when it came to this issue of swearing in, and he basically put through what appears to be an illegitimate motion regarding whether or not Gonzalez would be sworn in. And he claimed to have two proxies from Republican senators who were not present during this vote on this motion about swearing him in. And Spector declared that with the two proxies, he had 10 votes to the Democrats' 8. And immediately Feingold challenged him on that and asked to see the proxies. They should be in writing. It's not just a verbal thing where, you know, say Senator DeWine said, I'm going to be late. You've got my proxy on any motions that come up. It has to be in writing. And Spector failed to produce any proof of these. He rebuffed Feingold by saying essentially he was being impolite. And so I give Feingold credit for pressing the point, and I give Arlen Spector demerits for failing to adhere to fundamental practices in American politics.
Yeah.
Now, in general, I spent about 3 hours last night watching the news hour on PBS, part of Chris Matthews' Hardball, and then I went to the tape and watched the raw hearings from Monday morning. I had about 3 hours of that on TiVo, and I watched a good deal of it. There were some very important exchanges between both Republican and Democratic senators and the Attorney General on the legal issues. And there were relatively strong challenges from some Republicans, surprising, you know, in the current environment. But it's fair to say that Gonzalez did bob, weave, and spin his way through the lengthy session, and that he's pretty accomplished at deflecting serious questions about serious issues and instead offering pre-rehearsed soundbite-type answers.
Oh, it was making me furious watching it.
Yeah.
So it didn't change much then, huh?
The bottom line is, well, we learned nothing new because, of course, any time a senator asked a key question, Feinstein and I believe Biden both asked the AG if the presidential authority extended to opening first-class mail. And he dodged that question.
Yeah.
He basically refused to answer. And he asserts without proof that this is a very narrow program that is only aimed, as they have described it, at Al-Qaeda's on the phone, and we want to know what they're saying.
Such a lie.
But, you know, as I pointed out earlier, even Senator Feinstein smells a rat there. And, you know, her nose for rats is not as well-tuned as I would like it to be. So it must have been pretty smelly in that conference room.
Well, thank you for all the feedback and the knowledge that you managed to work on last night for 3 hours.
Well, I wasn't very popular at home.
No, I can imagine.
I was commandeering the TV set.
To watch them lie all the time.
Yeah. Well, Gail, thank you very much.
Peter,
realize it's distasteful for you, but please do stay in touch with us as much as you possibly can. And
okay.
To the extent we can be your buffer, I'm happy to provide that service.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's Gail in Salinas. And that's all the calls we have time for today. I want to thank everybody who participated. And I do appreciate your contributions to our program. And I invite you to keep listening. And we're going to keep the pressure on to the extent we can to fight for the truth and for the real American way. Oh, that's the wrong one. Excuse me. Let me try this again. I was looking for my buddy, Yikes McGee. And I have this little computer that drops. Oh. Yikes McGee isn't available for us today to sing We've Got a Bad President. So I'll have to save that for another time. Tomorrow on the program, I hope you will join us between 3 and 6 p.m. So far, I know that Scott Dick, who is our contributor on military and veterans affairs, will be joining us in the first hour. Marjorie Cohn from the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego will be with us in our second hour tomorrow at 4 p.m. She'll have her views on these contentious hearings regarding the NSA spying program and the non-responsiveness of the Attorney General. And in our 5 o'clock hour tomorrow, lots of your phone calls, plus an update from RawStory.com's Larissa Alexandrovna. That's all ahead tomorrow right here.
Happy trails to until we meet again. Happy trails.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. They came. Entertainers, poets, politicians, and people by the thousands. A huge funeral, more than 6 hours long, to say goodbye to Martin Luther King Jr.'s widow, Coretta, in Lithonia, Georgia. Former President Jimmy Carter.
They overcame one of the greatest challenges of life, which is to be able to wage a fierce struggle for freedom and justice, and to do it peacefully.
Her inner circle had an inner circle of one.
She was a sister that I never had.
Christine King Ferris, Dr. King's sister, Mrs. King's sister-in-law and closest confidant for nearly a half century.
And how are the children holding up?
They're holding up pretty good.
She shed new light on that legendary grace a grieving Coretta Scott King displayed at her husband's funeral. We now know it was part of a promise made 8 years before his death when King was arrested and jailed.
And he got on us for crying.
He didn't want you to cry for him.
He didn't want us to cry.
What were you supposed to do?
Supposed to stand up.
Stand up indeed. CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts there, just east of Atlanta. The former tour manager responsible for Great White's pyrotechnics took the blame for the fire that spread through the Rhode Island nightclub like it was a trailer home. 100 people died, and Daniel Beakley will go to prison as part of his plea deal.
The sentence that the court is willing to consider will amount to no more than 10 years to be served by you. Do you understand that to be the sentence you would receive by this court?
Yes, Your Honor.
The plea deal comes 2 weeks shy of 3 years since the station nightclub burned down. So you're giving up chocolate and cakes and cookies and all kinds of great fattening things, thinking it'll make you live longer, huh?
Does a low-fat diet by itself reduce your risk of breast or colorectal cancer or cardiovascular disease? For years, many doctors have thought so. But when Dr. Shirley Beresford and other Seattle researchers studied nearly 50,000 older women,
our low-fat intervention did not have any large reductions in any of the disease outcomes.
Some small effects were noted in certain groups. These studies in the Journal of the American Medical Association recommend more study to fine-tune who might benefit. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.